When I was a little girl, my brother Glenn had night terrors and sleepwalked. He also had chronic migraines. My mother spent her nights focused on his moon face, eyes creased with worry, dabbing cold rags on his head, guiding him back to bed, holding his shaking shoulders. I had my night terrors too, but they were silent. I woke in the middle of the night while the ghosts, the fear of everything that was out of my control, pressed down into my chest. I heaved and shook, but couldn't scream. I could feel them right above me. I could see them floating in corners. They never went away, even when I awoke. Once Glenn bolted down the hallway, screaming, and I watched from my doorway as my mother grabbed his hand and guided him back to his room. She couldn't wake him when he was like that. He looked at me, eyes wide open, the whites shot through with red. But dead asleep, he couldn't see me. I was invisible to them both. One cold winter morning, I woke early and looked out the window above my bed into the darkness. The ice on the window cracked and splintered as I pressed my fingers into the frost, the tips leaving steamy imprints in tiny dots. I leaned in and made a shadowy ghost by forcing my cheeks into the glass and blowing through my lips. My ghost stared back at me as I pulled the blanket around my shoulders. I didn't want to get out of bed until the house had warmed, so I huddled under the covers and waited until my father had stoked the fire enough in the wood stove. Every morning I listened for the sound of the radio and the fire crackling. School was only canceled if the temperature dropped to 20 below zero, and this would happen for days on end. When the DJ, Leo the Lion, a middle-aged Mormon with a booming voice, announced that school was canceled again, I smiled to myself before jumping out of bed to play outside. The weather never stopped me. I wasn't afraid of anything but ghosts. My neighbor Danny didn't like the cold, and this was a cold day. His aunt, who he lived with, was a lunch lady, and the family didn't have a wood stove. They couldn't keep their house very warm. My family was not rich, barely even middle class, but my mother was a registered nurse, and my father worked for the U.S. Forest Service, so compared to Danny's family, we had a lot. For a while, Danny couldn't come over anymore because he had tried to touch what my parents referred to as my private parts. Months earlier, Danny and I had been on the side of the yard where my parents kept their vegetable garden. We were hidden behind a row of tomato plants when he asked me to show him my private parts. I didn't want to, but he told me that adults do it all the time. The older neighbor boys snickered in Danny's yard below, pointing at us. I had the feeling I was being tricked, but I was too young to know how, and I never turned down a dare, so I slowly raised my skirt, and then he dropped his pants. His own private parts just hung there, pink and soft. I couldn't look away. He leaned his hips forward and said that we should rub our privates together. I stepped back quickly, because I really didn't want to do that. Just then, my mother came rushing around the corner, her arms fluttering around her head like butterflies. She yanked my skirt down and told Danny, "Go home and never come over anymore." She hurried me inside the house and then lectured me about how I should never let boys see my privates, no matter what. I nodded my head with a blank stare. Trouble wasn't new to me. I was the difficult child. My brother, 6 years my senior, was the sweet and honest one. I never heard my mother yell at Glenn like she yelled at me. I had a fury in me, always wanting things I couldn't have, a later bedtime, more friends, a different family. Once I chased my brother with an ice skate raised above my head. He locked himself in the bathroom, and I jammed the ice skate into the wooden door, sliding the blade down and leaving a gash that showed the lighter wood underneath. I was ashamed later, but I never let on that I was. I didn't want them to think I was sorry. "She's got that red-headed temper," everybody said about me. My mother didn't like that because she was a redhead too. "People make redheads like that," she said, "by the way they treat them." She may have been right, because she was just like me. She never backed down from a fight.